The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Our hearts are broken again. Is it going to be like this every week?
All I can say is I hope not. After Alton Sterling, Philando Castillo, Baton Rouge, Dallas.
And after Paris, Brussels, Istanbul, Baghdad, Orlando. Now it's Nice.
Last week was La Fête du 14 Juillet, or Bastille Day. And like every July 14th, families gathered on the Promenade des Anglais to enjoy the fireworks.
And like every July 14th, me and my family were enjoying the day and celebrating one of the best days of my life because it's my daughter's birthday. It was our fifth birthday. And then we heard the news. Nice, a crazy truck, 84 people killed, including 10 children and more than 200 injured. And officials in France rushing to blame Islam.
But not just in France, also here in America. Case in point, Newt Gingrich asking for every person of Muslim descent to be, quote, tested and deported if they believe in Sharia law. Tell me, exactly how are we supposed to do that? Dunk them in water and see if they float?
Mm-hmm.
Quick, somebody call Reverend Hale. I've seen Goody Proctor with the devil. Not to make light of the situation, but it's a witch hunt. I hope that we can all see that, see how ridiculous that is.
Oh, that is. It's like la mouche qui pique l'oreille de l'éléphant. You know, when there is this fly, and the fly is too weak to destroy the porcelain shop, and the only thing she can do is to go in the ear of the elephant and manage to buzz it so that the elephant goes crazy and just wants to destroy the whole shop. That's exactly what's going on. Terrorists don't need to do much to get us to react with fear and ignorance. And when you listen to the Republican convention these days,
okay,
and you hear all this speech, it's all about fear, attack, we need security. It's crazy. If only we could start listening to each other instead of just being afraid and pointing fingers. For the past 2 weeks, we have started a conversation with Honey and Rafif.
Honey Al-Sayed is an award-winning journalist, public speaker, and former host of the renowned radio show Good Morning Syria.
And her friend, Rafif Jouajeti, is a Syrian-American activist denouncing both the regime of Bashar al-Assad and Daesh.
Rafif co-founded the Freedom Charter, a document designed to officially identify what the Syrian people want and to prepare the future transition to statehood, much like our own Declaration of Independence.
We talked about the civil war in Syria and the sad reality for refugees.
What gender do you identify with?
First, I identify as a human being. That's and then if for the sake of, society and all else and what we know, a woman.
What are my choices? Yes, I identify myself as a woman.
Okay.
And trapped in the body of a woman.
Not a man.
Not a man.
And what are the attribute or definition you would put behind that?
Strong, yet sensitive. Intelligent. Capable. Motivated. Inspired by strong women like yourselves.
The attributions are many, huh?
The attributions are many. Giver of life. I've always felt proud of being a woman. I don't think there's ever been a day when I haven't been proud to be a woman.
When you think about yourself, what do you see first?
I try to see myself first as a human being, but then I will identify more as being a woman, and I think part of that is because many of us are now required to, so that we can push a narrative of equality. Because if we were all equal, then we could simply limit our attribution to that of human being.
It means to be, first of all, to think of what it means to us as women before what is expected of us as women, especially in a time where we have to make 10 times the effort to say, hey, we're here, we exist. And we were just talking about that before we started the conversation right now. And it seems to be even 20 times the effort to say, hey, I'm an immigrant, I exist. Hey, I'm a woman, too. So there's a lot of, you know, using our voice is very important.
Can you give me, like, an example?
Yeah, let's see, where can I find you an example? But maybe because I'm Syrian, I think war. And in war, the first people that go down and fight are the men. The women are usually the ones who are negotiating in the front lines, and we don't usually hear about these, you know, how they're cooking for X or they're doing, and that's, we only hear the stereotypical things, but they're actually in the front lines either protesting or men usually are more ready to pick up the gun. Women are more ready to negotiate, and that's where their tolerance and compassion comes, because they have probably lost their son, their husband, or so on. They have probably lost their daughter too. They're the first to be victimized in the sense of rape and so on within a conflict or a war zone, or abused, because they are seen as vulnerable. And in a culture like ours, it's the honor of a man as his woman, and if that's the first thing you attack, then you win. But the truth of it is that they are at the front lines, and they're probably the last to pick up the machine gun or the gun, and they're the first to negotiate. Yet, they're never given that space at the table. They're never given that seat. And if they're given that seat, it's always like, yeah, because we want to add a number so we can look good. And I think it's really dangerous, because women in grassroots are the first victims to any war, and I think they definitely need to be at the table.
You are listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn.
What feminism means to you?
Feminism to me means the pursuit of full equality. It does not mean that I want to burn my bra, and it does not mean that I hate men, and it doesn't mean that I'm a lesbian. I have the freedom to burn my bra, I have the freedom to hate men, and I have the freedom to be a lesbian. But it's not that. It is truly the pursuit of full equality among men and women.
Great, thank you.
I wanted to ask, when you said society, what society are we talking about? Are we talking about the Middle East region? Are we talking about the United States? How is it different?
I think we're talking about society internationally. For me, it was most pronounced in Syria and the greater Middle East. But I don't think the cause of feminism is so much more successful internationally. If we look at the United States in particular, in Congress, women's representation is at about 18 or 20%. This should be unacceptable. You look at patriarchal societies around the world. I mean, in Europe, Italy, France, Spain, women have... It's universal.
You name it.
You name it. I think the Scandinavian countries are the most advanced in terms of achieving something that looks like gender equality. But the rest of the world, for the most part, has not reached that level. So it's not just the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And... because something I would be very interested as well in knowing, because every time, like, for instance, I went to a women forum the other day, and it's always talking about, women's right when you have two chunks, like the one for the Western and the one for the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. There is something that annoys me with that, because I don't think we're, like, in boxes, and there are different level. But what do you think about that yourself?
Well, I really dislike sweeping labels, and I think if we go back to the premise that we're all humans first, then, you know, why do we have to have so many other labels? When we go to women's conferences, we focus on the rights of women, but I think we really need to be talking about the rights of women in the context of the rights of humans, human rights. If we agree that men and women are equal, then we believe in basic human rights. They should not necessarily be separated. right? I think we talk about women's rights because in many societies they don't have them, and that's what drives that narrative.
Was there a day in your life when you felt limited by yourself as a woman or by yourself?
Many times. I was looking at an art exhibit in D.C., in Georgetown. The man was sitting at a chair, an older man with a cane and everything. We started up a conversation. And he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Syria." He's like, "Oh, he's from Egyptian descent." And then we got into a little bit of politics. He was mansplaining, as we would say, to me, what the world and what politics is about, and basically not giving me a chance to even talk or give my opinion even. And I was like, "Do you want to listen to what I want to say?" He's like, "You know, you look like a beautiful woman. There's no need for you to even get into politics. Just stay pretty."
Sorry, I'm laughing.
Because I was like, "What? Did he just say that to me?" Does it mean that if you are pretty or if you are whatever? Like, and that was humiliating. And that's not like one time. That does not happen just in the United States or just in a country. This is universal almost.
I don't think I've ever felt limited. I think I've been in situations where people have tried to make me feel limited, but when confronted with that, I just see it as a challenge that I have to rise above.
I am not surprised hearing your personality. Right.
No, but I mean, people in general will always try to limit those when they are insecure, mm-hmm. or when they feel threatened. And if anybody tries to limit us, we really have to confront it head on. We have to push back and let them know that they don't have the power to do that. Inside, we might be feeling insecure and lack confidence, but that's really an opportunity to go back to a good friend or a mentor and get that kick in the ass I was talking about. But you never, ever, ever show it.
Do you have an example of that you could remember of a situation?
Oh, I've had lots of situations in the context of the Syrian revolution. You know, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of academics. And so everybody around the table is talking about their PhD. I don't have one. And everybody is talking from a very theoretical and academic perspective. And I'm going, "Oh my God, I'm just a little activist here. What do I say?" And at the end, I had to give myself a kick in the butt because everybody else was an academic. And I have to say, "My gosh, these people are talking about theory and I am talking about practical matters. They need to hear what I have to say. So I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be very blunt. I'm not going to use flowery language or theoretical terms or big words to impress. I'm going to tell it like it is. And I'm going to decide to just speak from the heart." And actually, from that point forward, that's what I started doing in any platform. Even when I was able to use more sophisticated words, I chose to just speak from the heart.
Because you're very practical and because you're as you said, in very direct, regarding gender equality, what do you think could be the number one thing that should be changed?
I would say that one thing I would at least encourage other women to change is when raising children. You know, the baby clothes begin the process of gender discrimination or force us into gender roles. And so I don't ever want to see another little onesie that says "pretty like mommy" and "smart like daddy." I don't want to see little girls cast only in pink and boys in blue. I think if women, strong women, can raise strong children who believe in equality, then from a generational perspective, we won't be having this discussion, right? With just a couple more. And so I go back to things like my boys, who are very rambunctious, they're very creative, they're beginning to be rebellious. And one thing they know very well is that they may never discriminate against somebody because she's a girl or because she's a woman.
because they know better.
they know better. They know better.
But I have myself two children, and a boy and a girl. And I found it almost like always fascinating. Number one, to see the cliche I've inherited, even as a feminist or even as, you know, because you reproduce what your mother did. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes as well, the fact that I have the boy and the girl, mm-hmm. every day mm-hmm. I catch myself just being biased. It's mm-hmm. crazy. And the rest of the world is not helping.
Right.
Like by saying, right. Oh, she's beautiful. I'm like, don't say that.
Well, you know, she can be beautiful. She can be beautiful. Yeah. She can be beautiful, and so can he.
Yeah,
but exactly. But the point is that her strength is not limited to her looks.
Exactly.
Right? If her looks are fantastic, lucky her, she's beautiful. Is she smart? Is she capable? Is she ambitious? Is she confident? Is she ready to help other people? Is she open to learning new things? I mean, these are the kinds of things that we want to push. And if on top of all this, she's beautiful physically, fantastic.
That's the icing again.
You know, and hopefully she'll meet a beautiful man yeah. who is intelligent and confident, or yeah. a beautiful other woman who is all of those things. Yeah. You know?
Not true. But and on the other side, like, I always tell my son, like, crying is okay. It's mm-hmm. not a girl thing. It's a release of emotion. It's beautiful. But it's so funny as well to see the reaction of people.
Oh, absolutely. And there are simple things. You know, my kids, years ago, when they would be punished or disciplined, you know, one of them would start crying. And you know, one time I heard the older one say to the younger one, "You need to take it like a man." I said, "No, you need to take it like a woman. Toughen up, kiddo."
Toughen up, kiddo. Toughen up, kiddo. I love when she said that. Women are strong.
What is the change you would like to do for yourself or for another woman?
I want to have a dream. Again. And I want to be able to at least work towards this dream. Now, am I being honest with myself? What do I really want? Not what do others really want from me? Which is great, because I've been blessed with so many people that think highly of me, that believe in me, that respect me, and I need that. But now I need to know, where do I take all that motivation and inspiration from, that community that has been created around me in a new home, in a new country, and go up and go do the next thing. Knowing that the next thing will always be, you know, when I was saying before about empowering, I always say, who am I to empower anybody? The truth is, we empower each other. Because when I have the strength to help you get to something, or just to tell you a nice word of, you know what, you're great, you can do this. First of all, I need to have the strength for myself to tell you that. And I feel empowered when I can tell you that. And even more empowered when you actually go do something.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful graphic, a visual that I saw on your Facebook page on the Womanity Project, where it's the one woman picking up the other and so on, and how we help each other and lift each other rather than getting jealous and envy. That's the only freedom we have, for God's sake. How much more do you want to take away from a human being's freedom? So I think lifting each other is very important, men and women.
We have to believe in each other, in one another, and we have to push one another. We don't need to just hold hands and skip down the street. We also have to occasionally kick each other in the ass, right? As Honey has done for me on several occasions, so I thank you. No, we have to be able to say, okay, I hear you. I understand your predicament, whatever it is. Now stop whining and get to work. We all go through ups and downs, and we sometimes need a good friend to just say, enough is enough. Yalla, go.
Allez.
Yalla, yeah. Who would be the woman you would like to say thank you to?
My mother.
And why?
My mother went through a lot. My mother had her first baby at 16. That was norm back then. Probably norm even now. But really more back then. She worked really hard, and she had 4 children. She did everything. She was like, I always tell her, you're mom and dad. She's like, well, you have a dad. Okay, I know, but you're mom and dad. Because that's the truth. With all due respect to my dad, of course, he's done so much. But you always stick to the person who's been most impactful and memorable in your life. The person who has influenced you the most. My siblings have influenced me. But if I were to think of one amazing, they're all amazing, but my mom, just to see what she had gone through, from everything, from even her divorce to everything, she never, ever gave up. Ever. Never did she allow anybody to make her feel inferior. And I've never seen a woman give so much to another man. Her loyalty, I have never seen a woman so loyal. I have not. I really have not. We might not, my mom and I might not agree on a lot of things, but as any child or daughter, or this is how the world is. You know, we're a different generation. We will disagree. We'll disagree on politics. We'll disagree on a lot of things. But I can agree on one thing. She's a very powerful woman, even on the days and the years that I thought she was weak. I think the fact that she stuck through no matter what, she is just remarkable to even do that. And I learned, I think all of us got strength from her. Even when we judged her, even when we critiqued her, because we tend to do that as children. And I would say to youth, watch your mouth before you do that. When you grow up and you start becoming just a little wiser, even when you don't get your own children, you will see what your parents are to you, no matter what. And like I said, we don't agree on everything, but she's really a strong woman. And I think there's a saying in Europe, behind every great man, there's a great woman. That's my mom.
Wow.
I would like to thank a girl by the name of Radir. At this point, she should be 11. And the last time I saw her, she was in Atme camp in Syria, just across the Turkish border. And I owe her a debt of gratitude for making me realize how lucky I have been, and for making me realize how much work I still have to do, and for making me realize how much work she has to do to rise above the circumstances over which she had no control. And so she would be the person, I think, who has given me a strong perspective.
I want to say how much we as women have to go through just to prove ourselves. I arrived here, I literally lost everything. The career I built. Imagine if, I'm not going to compare myself to Oprah Winfrey, but I would like to.
Go ahead.
I learned from my mom that nobody can tell me I'm nobody. Because no matter how dire the situation is, no matter how rock bottom, the only way is going to be up, as they say. And you know what? I know that I will fail. And I'll get up and I'll fail, but I don't want to stop getting up. It's been a hustle just to say, I am here, I exist, I can do this, please do believe in me. And I think we double our efforts just by being women to prove that we can.
You've been listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Today we've been talking about a lot of heavy stuff, and maybe like us, with everything that's going on in the world, you at home sometimes feel a little helpless. So our question to you this week is, What is the music that you pick up to comfort yourself when you feel down, when you feel like the world is falling apart? What's the music that makes you feel empowered?
And we want to know. So please react, share, like us, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Womanity Project. And we'll be playing your selections on the show starting next week. And you can support us and sponsor us on our page. Sponsor us on our page. RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/show/the-womanity-project.
We want to say a great big thank you to Mick O'Connor, Lizzie Hagstedt, and of course, Radio Free Brooklyn. Coming next, Sin Smith Radio Theater Collage.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And I just want to say before we leave, we are strong and we are here to lift each other up.
Amen. We'll leave you with Nina Simone's Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree. Joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. I get more than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, oh, baby, I'm just human. Don't you know I have faults like anyone? Sometimes I find myself alone regretting some little foolish thing, some simple thing that I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood. I try so hard.